Okay, so I think most of you were on the board when we were here a year and a half ago, when we were first sort of looking at the building and we got approval to do the residences with the reduction in parking for the residences, if you remember. And at that time, we didn't really know what was going to happen on the ground floor. We were thinking retail, and we kind of had the parking that could accommodate that. But once the building got put on the historic register, which is kind of cool, and so now not only the Park Service, but the State Office of Historic Preservation is involved, and they would really like to see the ground floor go back to, because first of all, they don't want you to knock any walls down. Okay, so they would like to see it go back to its original use, and it actually functions pretty well with the layout on the ground floor as a restaurant. You know, this was always a kitchen back here, this was a dining room, this was a bar, and I'm not really sure, maybe some of you guys know.
There was a pool table back there.
There was a pool table back there, okay. So, so what we're proposing now is, and this is a change from where we were before. We had the handicap parking space here, but quite frankly, it really didn't work there because we didn't have all the topa then. It's kind of steep. You come in and the land really rises and it's all level in the back.
So we were going to have a like a half wall here. And
you know, so because a handicap, you can't be too steep on a, you know, because obviously if you use a wheelchair, you don't want your chair to go away when you get out. So anyway, so it made more sense to put the handicap parking for the commercial space in the back here where this is all level, and we've moved the main entrance for the restaurant over here to, this is what we're proposing, is this will be the main entrance, and then that frees the whole porch up to perhaps in the summertime have seating out there. So anyway, and then the other thing we've done is there's actually a kind of an interesting basement space that was originally a bakery. I don't know if you guys know the history of this, but it's really cool. Down in the basement, there's a quite huge brick oven. It's got a brick vault like this, and it's 10 feet deep. And it, apparently, we had a historian do this thing. Apparently, and this was pretty common, is that people would like, they would make their bread dough, and then they'd bring it all down to the baker, and the baker would bake it off for them, and then they would go and pick it up. So this was the bakery for the whole village. So so that's down the basement, so we want to sort of open up and have maybe a special party room down there. So that's sort of the grand vision for the restaurant. We know it's a permitted use with a special permit, so that's why we're here. You know what we don't have for the restaurant? Parking. Okay, so we have our residential parking spaces for the we now have four residences, so we've got the parking spaces for the residences, and we've got this ADA spot, and then we've also got another parking spot here.
I think the earlier plan had two spaces here.
That's right.
And to get this plus the access lane, which is required by code, we had to cut that down to one space.
Correct. And we actually got like a little strip of grass, which there's, you know, that'll be a nice addition, right? So, and then this, here we've got our, a code legal delivery sort of a space that, and what we're sort of thinking is that in the daytime, this can be a delivery space, and at nighttime, it could be another parking space. Okay, so that's what we have now for parking for the restaurant, but let's talk about the occupant load for the restaurant. Paul's done a count here, and essentially I'll just give you the total, right? You know, so we've got the dining room here, we've got the bar here, we've got a downstairs dining room, and then it's obviously the workers in the restaurant, you have to count that too. So that's a total for the patrons of 113 and the restaurant staff is 5. And so that's 118, and the zoning code says one parking space for every 3 patrons, which, of course, you're only going to have that, like, you know, when there's a Christmas party and every seat is full, you know. So so we're looking for, what did we say, 36? Did I do the math right? We got 118.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because we have a couple, so we need another 36.
Now,
so,
that might be 108, 36.
6, 4, 18. That seemed like it went up. Well, anyways, we need a lot of parking spaces. So I just did a little sort of a look of what we know that's available that's not being used at night, right? And none of this has been, we haven't gone and talked to anybody or, you know, can we use your parking space? It's just parking that's available that's close by. Of course, the big underused one is on Canal Street, but that's a little bit far. We feel like it's a little bit far away. There's this strip here, and you know where Jack's used to be, you know, it's now the dollar store and everything. So these spaces up front, I believe, are for the town, right? This is because this is not...
Not that I'm aware of.
No? I think it's all part of...
Is that all part of there? Okay, well, anyway, it does seem... And then there's parking here for the... this facility
the restaurant
here,
but, there, yeah.
But anyway, so this nobody, there's spaces here. There's a big parking lot behind here, right, that I guess is part of Family Dollar, but it's really behind the Cumbies, right?
It's also a truck turning around.
And, right, so what we're kind of thinking is that they're probably not getting deliveries at night, right, so that there could maybe be some overlap, right? And then we mentioned that the senior center here, you know, it's not, you know, that's empty at night, you know, so those are spaces. And then the same with the Columbia Opportunities. There's several spaces here, and this isn't really used at night, right? So.
And you didn't mention.
Yeah, that. Well, this is the, you know, I put that in there because this is. I always think of it as Johnny Walker Insurance. What is it now? It's, you know, what are
they? They have vehicles that they leave overnight in that parking lot.
Oh, they do?
Okay,
so maybe that one's not going to work. But, you know, if you sum all these up, you know, we're up to like 100 and we're looking for 36. So I just wanted to give you a sense of sort of what's available. And that, and none of this includes on-street parking, which I understand.
Right, but honestly, all of those up at the top don't really mean a thing to us.
Okay.
Because those are private properties. You have no control over it. We have no control over it. The Philmont one, the long one, I mean, obviously that's, you know, that's for Philmont use. You could use that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Or parking on Prospect Street or something like that.
Right.
But the other ones, that's private stuff. We don't care about that, honestly.
Okay. But if we can make an, ideally, because they're the closest, if we could make an.
Yeah, that's between you and them. If you can work that out, fine.
That's right. And that's what we're hoping.
Hmm?
Yeah.
But we're not going to, you know, bring that into the equation at this point.
Okay, great.
That's going to be your problem. You're going to have to.
And it is a problem to solve.
I know.
You know, and
we knew
we
that
will.
The first time.
Yeah.
Regardless of what was going down there, we knew it was going to be a problem.
The very first thing when Spring called me, she said, "I'm looking at this building on Main Street in Philmont. What was the first thing I said to you?
Where's the parking?
Is there any parking?"
Well, the problem is they're going to park where they're not supposed to park, right there in front of the building. They're parking there now, and they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, and there's quite an easement, you know, there, but...
But it's marked no parking.
I know, because it's, you know, you're on the...
And they're not going to change it for you.
No, and they shouldn't change it, honestly.
No, because it's right on that curb.
That could be a revenue source for the village.
We would rather have your taxes be a revenue source.
And the other problem you're going to have is winter.
Right.
It's going to be a real problem then. That parking lot is going to be so far away, unless there's a walkway between.
That's what I was going to say. If you could get the people in the old insurance building to let you put a walkway between, that would be.
Yeah, because I think they own all that.
And yeah, they do, because we just had that.
They own all of this?
I believe so.
That whole corner. The same people.
Yeah, they just
so
got
to be a well. See,
yeah. This, so that
what
if
I
you
was
could.
Really thinking, where we wanted a walkway is if we get permission here, is to just cut through here. Maybe.
Right, yeah, but again, that's good. Private property.
It's private. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Well, as is the old Burby property there, but you probably have a better chance negotiating with them.
Yeah.
But
plus, you get to more spots because you would get
thing
to the
is,
50.
We're hoping. The people who live in Philmont will walk to the restaurant too. You know, that it's not all dependent on people coming from, you know, out, you know.
There's a liability too with something like that, isn't it? Who's liable for any accidents in that parking lot or something happened to the parking lot?
Okay. I do like that you have the space for deliveries to back into your parking lot. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're sort of thinking that, you have to have that.
That's a big deal. because that's a wicked bad corner there to start with.
Can I just ask a couple of questions on the existing parking? Because I was not on the board when that got approved.
How are you, Tom? Good to see you. Yeah.
So it appears to be only one per unit, and it's two per unit, so that already...
That's done, yeah.
That's been discussed and over. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it looks like people using the restaurant will certainly want to use those spaces. Mm-hmm. Let's say you work until late, and you get home at 7, if you live there, that's going to be an open space. So how do you keep them?
I think it's resident parking only signage.
It have to be signage.
Yeah.
You have to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that is a struggling backup, because that last car can't go out forward unless the handicap space is open.
Well, you know, this is what we're sort of thinking, is that this is probably not going to be, certainly in the daytime, you know, unless the rest, you know, if the restaurant's open in the evening, this will be free, right? So that'll be, you know, you can also use it sort of to back in and come out.
Well,
and it is a spot that's used by someone who's used to the site, because that's a resident spot.
Right.
So hopefully they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
One of our requirements from the original was that there would be no backing out onto Main Street.
Correct.
So you need to provide a space where...
Well, there is enough room here. I mean, this is legal, you know, mm-hmm. within the design things, to be able to come here and then come back out.
That's fine.
Right? But we figure if no one's here, it'll be even easier.
Right.
And the other signage we requested, I think you guys will remember, is a sign that says no backing.
Right.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another question. What are regular restaurant hours for this restaurant?
Good question.
I would just say that from past experience, if you lock yourself into number times and you want to change that, you have to come back through to expand them. So you may want to make them much wider than you think you ever want them, because then you can always go smaller.
Right, but regular restaurant hours doesn't work.
Yeah, it has to be, you know, 6 to 10 or...
The other restaurants, like the pizza in the town already. So
you wouldn't, but then if you wanted to ever do something like a brunch, then you're, you know, so you may just want to say like 6 in the morning till 9 at night or something. You don't have to be open that long, but you have that freeness to go to do what you want at that point.
Thank you.
Because
we won't be running the restaurant. We'll find a restaurant.
So that's what I wanted to clarify. They're not the restaurant owners, they're the building owners. And we sort of were anticipating that there might be another trip before you when there is a solidified tenant, because there's going to be a few issues. Like, I would imagine there's going to be signage, you know, and I don't know if the village cares, if that's an issue that needs to come before the board or not, or that's, you know, we can work out with Lee. So keep it really broad for now on the hours, and then maybe we can refine it.
But I think the hours have to come to us.
The hours do come
to us. So you would have to come through this two-meeting process, or somebody would. So if it's established from the beginning, then they have something to work with. You know, in case somebody wanted to open a cafe like 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
You know. It's just a thought.
It's a very good suggestion.
And the hours are going to be reflected by your tenants, too. Sometimes they work nights. Sometimes they work early mornings.
Yeah.
All that has to be considered.
Right.
Of course, you don't know who the tenants are at this point, so that's pretty difficult.
Yeah. Is that something we can change on the application now, like amend the application that's before you regarding the hours?
It can be changed before the next, you know, when after the public hearing type of thing.
Right, when you come back for a public hearing.
Okay.
Because we have a form that we'll fill out with whatever restrictions, you know, we want.
Okay.
And the hours is going to be one of them. We're going to need that.
Right.
Lighting will probably be another one.
Lighting? Yes. Well, I have that here. Do you want to talk about it now, or you want
to... Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Unless there's something else you want to...
I have some questions on the plan.
Go ahead.
So I'm a little confused by the total numbers now. So has this become a place of assembly?
No.
Okay, so what stops it?
What do you mean restaurants are a place of it? That's a...
This is a total for both floors.
Okay, so it goes by room.
Yes.
So what is the occupancy of the different rooms? Have you figured out?
Yeah, we can get that.
It's in the... You do it.
Yeah, all. Okay. This dining room has 31.
So that's what that number is. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
This bar has 17, and we've also got one behind the bar. Actually, we don't have enough square footage to mandate that, but we figure somebody's going to be there.
Maybe there'll be a robot.
Yeah. And then in the basement, we've got the dining room is 673 net square feet, so that comes up to 45. So once again, it's not a place of assembly. And there are storage spaces there that give us maybe two employees down there. So from an egress standpoint, we're always under 50. Mm-hmm. From a, well, yes, even with these two combined, from a parking standpoint, that's how we get the 113, because we're counting both floors at the same time.
And the doors, the front door's going out to the main street, that is a means of egress then?
This door we're using as a means of egress, and because it's a historic building, we are permitted to have that opening in. These two doors we're not intending to mark as means of egress, so that we don't have any conflict between the egress path and any seating that we may have here.
Okay, and then it says restored brick oven, so it's going to be used as an oven?
No, it's going to be used as a visual.
Visual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't remember seeing a chimney.
I've been in that basement many times switching out kegs for Bill Ritchie, and I never saw that oven.
In one corner, like it looks like the wall has fallen down.
Yeah?
You have to poke your head in there, and then you'll be surprised at what you see.
Well, I was...
I've been in it, right?
Did you? I did.
Yeah.
I guess I was more interested.
Story.
I was more interested in the beer, I guess.
Right. Yeah, you're on a mission.
Yeah, originally we had drawn it like we thought it was like about 5x5, and then I went in there with a tape measure, and it's
10x10. It's a room.
Yeah, it's a room.
Yeah, it's really cool.
With a brick arch.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I think they must have actually carried stuff. Like, I don't know if they made a fire and then they must have you don't have a long enough stick to, like, in a pizza. I don't know how they
have one similar to that down on Warren Street.
Do they really?
They came over from France and put it in. That's about the size of it.
Oh, yeah.
And you walk in, do you actually go in?
No, you don't walk in, but you walk into the room and it's, you can walk all the way around this unit.
This just shows the basement dining room and the lighting down there. So the only reason I have this basement plan is to show you that dining room and show that the electrical service is getting relocated.
And on that drawing, on that mini split, are they outside?
There's this little thing called the hyphen that connects the two buildings, and so it's underneath the hyphen there. We have 3 mini splits there.
So that's outside.
But it's underneath, it's behind the thing. And then we have another 3 in the back. Restaurant, anticipating there'll be a little bit of propane, but everything else it's all electric. So lighting, because we've got the stretch code now in Philemon, right? So we do have a lot of landscape lighting, but it's very controlled by the stretch code. It can only be 1100 watts for all the exterior lighting, right? So everything's low voltage, and everything is on controls that, within an hour of closing, everything goes off. And it's all set up so that
it's an hour after closing,
excuse me,
right? Not an hour before closing.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Important. And nothing goes on if the daylight, it's programmable, but it's also sensitive to the sun, so you're not going to have it's not going to be using juice if the sun's out. And so the lighting that people will see is there sconces on our porch columns, There's some low voltage pathway lighting on the porch. There's low voltage pathway lighting here to get up the brick walkway into the restaurant entrance, and again, low voltage pathway to get into the apartments.
Since you don't know who is going to be running the restaurant, just a suggestion, there are more and more chefs that are using induction top cooking. So, and they prefer it.
Get out.
No, it's true.
The only reason it surprises me is I bought an induction stove wanting to be green. But anyway, then I'm sticking with it. But so the real, I think that's great. I would, you know, because you know what?
Possibility.
We have no, this site is so tight that if we don't have to put propane to, I mean, that was one of the reasons we went all with all electric and mini splits anyway, because there's no, so I think that's great, and maybe they'll go for it. That'd be good. So that's pretty much it with the lighting.
Okay.
Is there anything we need to know, whether it's propane or electric cooking?
You're going to need a
I think that's him.
I don't think that's a consideration at all.
But it helps you with your energy code. That's all.
Correct.
Do not have gas at all. Great. Right. With the energy.
And air quality.
Yep.
That's the thing. The only other thing on this sheet that is just showing where we're upgrading the water service right now is like a, I think there's a 3/4 line for the whole building. And so we're going to make a 4-inch. It's great on the third floor. There's a water heater that I guess heated all the water for the, you know, 13, and it's about, it's like the size of a cooler. You know, and it's still there, you know, so we're going to save that for posterity because it's funny. So anyway.
It's going to be a 4-inch?
Water line coming in. Yeah.
4-inch.
Yeah.
Does this have to have sprinklers?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yep.
Because it's 3-story.
Right. Yep.
Fully sprinkled.
Are there any other questions?
It's not exactly a question, but when I saw this, and I think you know the comprehensive plan is being reviewed. So they're just at the beginning stages of assessing parking for the entire village. And when I saw this, I was hoping, oh, maybe they spoke to those people and they've got something going on. So it's a little difficult to say, oh yeah, go ahead without having any idea at all. What if all these people say no? What?
They
well,
still have enough with the 50.
You've got enough at Canal Street to cover what we need.
Right. It means the town that we have to step in because there's a lot of abuse is going on down there. Now.
I mean, I think it's obviously something that needs to be worked out because I think it's going to affect the viability of this. You know, I mean, because having lived here an awfully long time, you can't make it on just being a summer. You have to be able to make it in the winter, and the winter is the issue, right? So it's something we need to solve.
There you go, golf cart or something. But at any rate, the parking is going to be your problem. It's not. Village law, actually, I talked to Rob about this before. Since you're an existing structure, there really are no parking requirements that we can enforce. But we would strongly encourage them.
I don't know, but when I eat there, I always walk.
Oh, see?
But they might be your best bet because they're not open at night, I don't believe.
Who's that open today?
Co-op.
The old Stewart's.
The co-op? No. No.
And everybody parks there at night.
I mean, nobody parks on, you can't park on Rock Street, but nobody parks on the south side of Prospect there.
Right.
So, I mean, there's room for four or five cars there.
Yeah, but they park on both sides of that street.
Yeah, they can't do that.
Well, they do.
But that
no,
would be up to the village.
No, you're talking Prospect Street. He's talking that little
yeah.
The little section from
little,
Rock Street over.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right there, nobody parks.
No.
There's
right.
One car parks there. So, I mean, there's room for four or five cars there anyway. The rest of Prospect Street, forget it.
This is where I want to try to make a deal. It seems like this would be, anyway.
They don't use that with the apartments? Aren't there apartments in that? The yeah. One building.
This one building.
Yeah,
right
that
here.
Is apartments.
I don't know. But they usually night park. It's completely empty.
They usually park in front of that building, right behind you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Right there.
No.
Yeah. No, this side.
You're talking about
go to the right there. That's where they park. There's a street there. Not a street, but parking area.
Right there.
Oh, it's like a little alleyway type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
You haven't talked to any of these people about parking or anything yet at all?
Well, I haven't because I'm the architect, but
right.
But we do have a plan if it's, you know, obviously if we get approval from the town, that's the next thing, because I think that is probably a kink that needs to get worked out as for a perspective of the town.
All right, any other questions? I will tell you this, we're going to need a short form CECRA.
Okay, great. I asked Lee about that because we submitted one before.
Nope,
and
you need
he
another
said,
one.
He said, I don't think you need another one unless the planning board asks for it, so I'll be happy to.
I asked Rob.
Okay, you did. Okay.
Yep. So we're going to need a short form.
Okay.
Okay. I need a motion to accept the application.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
I have a motion to second Rick Kellerhaus to accept the application. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion passed to accept the application. There'll be a public hearing. You have to contact all the abutters within 300 feet,
right.
Telling them the time and the place. We're going to need the short form seeker.
Okay.
And we'll need that next time. Have you paid your fee?
No.
No?
We paid for the permit we have.
For the special.
Yeah, it was.
You paid for this permit?
Yes.
We paid for the building permit. It was a big chunk of money. Yeah, and this was, we paid, because all the drawings are done, you know, we paid for the building permit, and then he kicked us over to here. So is it a separate permit for the?
Yeah, it was, we paid it.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay, so you've paid the permit for the honor of speaking with us.
Yes.
When? So I'll fill out the EAF thing and then bring it into the village hall.
Well, bring it with you at the
okay.
At the public hearing.
Okay.
Okay.
When does this, because it's on Main Street, Ascoda County, so when does it go at the end or does it go ahead of time? Does
what,
it have to
secret?
Go to the county planning board?
The secret?
For approval. The application, I think, because it's on Main Street.
Oh, I don't know. I got to check with Rob on that. We may need to go to Columbia County with that because it is on Main Street.
Yeah.
But I'll find
it's
out.
It's within a certain distance of the Main Street. So,
right.
So would Rob know that or Leon? One of them. I'll check.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're all set, and
thank
we'll
you.
See you back here September. Anybody know? September 19th.
Thank you very much.
September 19th at 7 o'clock.
You're not going to use the brick oven room for restaurants?
It's a ceiling height issue. Yeah, it's... I wish we could have
time to... Maybe you could get a baker. That would be great.
Yeah.
All right, next order of business, 105 Main Street. I know I'm going to screw this name up, so you're going to have to tell me. Bill, I should have been able to say that.
Have you taken a look at that? You want me to give you a brief?
Yeah, we want you to give us a brief narrative. Tell us what you want to do.
Okay, so we have a building behind our three family on Main Street that you probably all know, next to the library. It's partly brick in the front section. It has two stories. And then there's a metal building in back. And the back building's about 30 by, not quite 60, 58 feet. The front is 23 by 30 or something like that. So what I'd like to do is put an apartment in the upstairs of the brick building, which would be a small one-bedroom apartment. And fairly simple. And change the entrance from an indoor entrance through the garage to a deck on the outside with stairway. So it'll come right up into the second floor. And then I'll continue to use the garage the way it's being used, which is for my own use, for garden tools and stuff like that. We'd like to turn the building in the back into an apartment without changing the look of the building in any way, except just replacing the roof and the siding, mm-hmm. and putting new windows and maybe another new door in, but essentially just like a three bedroom with a couple of offices and living space. So anything else?
Well, one problem is that accessory buildings, you're not allowed to have any more than one bedroom. So you could not have three bedrooms in that other building. So they would both have to be one-bedroom structures.
I see. Okay. And there's there any way around that? It's a big building, so.
The only way around is for you to go back to the ZBA and ask for a variance.
Oh, I see. Variance for that.
Because other than that, I mean, I think it's 160-22 uh-huh. that speaks to, you know, accessory buildings. And
okay.
I'll tell you exactly if that's where it is, but I'm pretty sure.
So who do we have to go to get that variance?
Lee, right?
Lee?
You would have to go to the ZBA to ask for a variance, and probably then you would have to apply for multifamily building or something like that. But they will tell you that, or maybe Lee can even help you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 160-22, it's clear on accessory buildings that you can have an existing accessory structure like a garage, only one. If you were building a multifamily apartment in a zone that permitted it, you would have to, once again, have a different application. And then we'd have a whole new set of parameters to look at. But as far as the way yours is set up right now, can't do it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anything else I can say?
Is there sewer and water in that building?
There is water in there, yeah. There's a bathroom in there.
Okay, because the building in the back, if you did this, would you have enough pitch?
Excuse me, enough?
Enough pitch to put a bathroom in the back section?
I think so, yeah.
Because you don't know how deep the sewer line is.
It's zoned commercial now. And I thought that's that building.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that's what the variance was about, to turn it into residential.
Does that make sense?
It's zoned general business.
The houses, they're two separate.
Yeah, they're two separate properties, actually.
They have two separate.
One is a commercial, and the other one is just the building itself.
Right, but they're accessory buildings in a GB, so... That's why it goes by 160-22.
It's in a
right.
in a GB.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. Anything else we need to know? Or?
Yeah, I have some questions. I was just struggling with this because I had difficulty putting the text together with the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just said there's two properties. Can you show me where that is on this survey?
Actually, it's not two properties.
It's one property,
but one is zoned differently than the other, as far as I understood. Because
I'm looking at it from Main Street. The yellow building on the left is an apartment house.
That's our house.
And your building is the brick building.
That's right. Well, we own both.
Oh, you own both?
Yeah, we own both. Yes. Yeah.
But does one have anything to do with the other? You have to change the... It's commercial now. The building you want...
Yeah, the building is commercial.
Yeah, there were two... The front section bought is... it. There, you had...
Are they two separate parcels?
Pages, yeah.
Two separate parcels?
Yeah.
Well, in 1987, this is what you submitted.
Yeah.
In 1987, it was one parcel. And the zoning was figured out after 1987. So that means the one parcel is a general business zoning district. If this is correct, you submitted it. So we can...
Yeah, I don't understand the technicalities of it because it's. I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that.
In 1987, it was one property.
Yeah. I think it's still considered one property, but one portion of it is zoned differently because it was a commercial building.
Right, they were using it. There was a business in there.
It was a commercial building, so that's why it still remains. Does that make sense?
So there's a mix-up between zoning and use. So zoning is attached to the property.
Yeah.
So that, and that is general business. Mm-hmm. In that general business district, you can have structures of different uses. So I think what you're trying to say is the back buildings were a different use. They were not residential.
That's right. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
So with that, there's a couple of things I found. When you convert use from one to another, mm-hmm. you basically have to meet the code requirements then of the new code for residential use.
Sure.
So an example, this is a lot line wall. It's 6 inches in from the lot line,
right.
But according to this note, the eave of the building is actually on the property next door. And there's some agreement that says there's an agreement. I don't know if it's about the deed, but you need to know what that agreement is mm-hmm. for this lot line wall.
Okay, so is that the line that's of the library parking lot?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, this is between the library and this.
Right. Yeah.
And it tells you, which is good, it tells you the number of the notes. You'll be able to track this down.
Okay.
And there's another reason this is becoming very important. Because in residential use, what's called habitable rooms, so bedrooms, living rooms, mm-hmm. have to have a certain amount of natural light and air. And you cannot get that light and air from a lot line wall. So the way you drew this plan won't work. Because you cannot have any windows on this wall legally for those rooms. So
there's already existing windows there.
In a different use.
Oh, in a different use.
And uh-huh. as long as that use remains, there is no problem. It's because uh-huh. you want a variance to change the use, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then you have to comply with the requirements for residential. And that is, I kept on looking at this and
so can you tell me where I can look up that regulation about no windows, what are you saying?
Well, it has to do with
the property line?
Well, I don't know what this, there's an easement, and I don't know what it says.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Maybe it says the neighbor next, the reason for it is because the neighbor next door mm-hmm. can build a building right up to that line. Mm-hmm. To block up your window.
Yeah.
You'd spend all that money. They'd be all blocked up.
I see.
Maybe the easement says that neighbor can't do that. I don't know.
Okay, so we have to look up.
You really have to track down what that says. Yeah. I have a feeling it's about the eave, because that's actually on the other property.
Yeah.
And then once you figure that out, this has to work, so you're not using windows on that side. They can be there, but they're called lot line windows. And they don't count put the lighting there. Where you have that lineup of rooms isn't going to work.
So, okay, so now, how would I find out what's required for the air and the light for a room?
There's several other things, and it's not for us to tell you. I generally, a consultant gets involved.
Uh-huh.
And the consultant is responsible for going through the codes and the zoning and all the issues that can possibly come up.
So is it in the town papers? Is it written up in there?
Well, that's the New York State building code.
The New York State Building Code.
Yeah. Okay. 1,000 pages. So.
But the building inspector would be able to tell you that because
yeah.
that would be part
yeah,
of your.
He might be
that would be
you
part
you
of your plan, so he would look at that and he should be able to tell you that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He's already seen this.
Yeah, he's already seen this. He never said anything about that. I mean, he's seen it many times. We've been back and forth about this numerous times.
Yes, you have. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, yeah.
I would check with him again, make sure that
it's called the lot line. It's a lot line wall.
Yep. Lot line
and
wall.
It also has fire code.
Yeah.
Since Rome burned in 64 AD,
yeah, sure.
We know that fires can burn easily in dense areas.
Yeah.
So lot line walls have to meet fire code.
All right, Lee should be able to help us with that.
See, and even on this, Lee clearly said that a special permit is needed to create an accessory apartment in a detached accessory structure. And then if you go to 160-22, it tells you that only one apartment is allowed, clearly subordinate to one family, the number of bedrooms, floor area, and that you can't have... more than one apartment. Only one apartment is allowed, and it shall be clearly subordinate to the one-family dwelling. The number of bedrooms in the apartment shall not be more than one. Floor area shall be greater than 400 square feet. That's right out of the zoning book.
Okay, so that applies to
accessory buildings.
Both of these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So we can only have one apartment in both buildings?
What happened? Are they two parcels or are they two separate parcels?
Yeah.
No.
Well, no, the
no,
one
they
is
aren't.
Not.
Okay.
The accessory building is not.
It's still part of the one
right.
other parcel.
Yeah. Right. So let me get
so
this.
Can there be two, because there's the brick section with two floors, apartment upstairs. Is it limited to that one apartment, or can there be another apartment
in
the
back.
Other back section?
Well, it may be since they are connected, you can only have one apartment, period.
I see.
Because I don't know if that would be considered
so that would have
two accessory buildings.
That would be zoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be up to zoning.
Okay.
And it looks like your zoning is GB in the front, general business in the front, and Mill District 2 in the back. That's what it looks like anyway.
Okay. Mill District 2.
So you mean that one building?
Yeah, the metal part
don't
of the building.
Mean
the, yes. Oh, no, the whole thing there. Yeah, that whole section.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, sorry, we can't help you.
All right.
So
well,
GB,
we have
what
to find out.
GB in the front. And
it looks like it's Mill District 2 in the back.
I kind of wish
sorry,
Lee
Mill,
might have
Mill.
Picked
District.
Up on
M-I-L.
Some of that stuff and let us know.
Yeah.
So, but
okay.
Whatever. We'll go
number
with
two.
What the town likes. So.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Thank you. I know you're working hard on this. All right. That should do it, unless anybody else has any business.
Make a motion. We adjourn.
I second it.
Have a motion and a second to adjourn.
We need our papers.
That was Rick, right?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously.
We need to do our papers.
Oh, yeah.